Hey folks, in this interview, we're going to be talking about digital storytelling.
This is TWIP.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. In today's episode, I'm sitting down with a digital storyteller. His name's Benjamin Edwards, and we're going to find out why he calls himself a digital storyteller and not just a photographer. And for the, just to, you know, to not bury the lead, I 100% agree with him. So Benjamin Edwards, welcome to This Week in Photo, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be good. You and I, you know, we had sort of a pre-interview discussion, which we should have recorded, in all truth, because it was awesome
and super fun. Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Right. Yeah. And we got to talking, and one of the things that came up was this whole idea of digital storytelling versus photography. And you know, people on This Week in Photo that have been following us for any length of time know that from time to time I rant about, you know, this sort of this never-ending flow of awesomeness that is photos that we see every day on Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook, etc. But the photos are technically awesome and the concepts are generally good for the most part, but most of the things that we see seem to be lacking story, or which is how our cultures sort of thrive, right? From the beginning of time, yeah. From caveman days, it was storytelling. Right. And now for some reason we've lost it, even though the tools that we have gone behind the hammer and chisel.
Right.
You know, and pig's blood on the wall of a cave.
I still have some of that in the back.
I got some too. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's on a shelf somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah. So tell me about that. Tell me about how you made the sort of the epiphany of going from, you know, I'm a photographer, I'm journaling, I'm capturing pixels, to, you know what, I'm actually telling stories. How'd that come about?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I think for me originally it was every time I introduced myself, and naturally people would say, well, what do you do for a living? I'm like, well, I'm a photographer. And it was crazy, like almost 100% of the time they were a photographer too, or like everyone they knew was a photographer. And like, that's cool. Like, I think we should all, like, we have the technology now in our phones to be documenting life. And, but I like legit do it for a business. Like, mm-hmm. I support my family, thankfully, for 16 years taking imagery, making imagery. And so after a while I was like, man, that's, you know, it's kind of weird. And it kind of grated on me a little bit. And then over time, I think for me, I've kind of, I wouldn't say transitioned, but I've kind of welcomed in additional forms of visual storytelling. So for me, it's film, it's video work. Like, I love doing that now. And I've kind of expanded into that. I think for still photographers, that's a natural progression in storytelling, right?
Yeah.
So as a wedding photographer, you're trying to tell the story throughout the day with still images. And I love the heightened sense of storytelling with film and video, where you have moving imagery, you have shots that you can set up, you have the addition of music, which is highly emotive.
Yes. Yeah. And so, narration, right?
Anything. Or narration, right. Yeah. There's so many ways to make it super emotive. So I kind of consider myself now a storyteller. Like, I am all about telling stories for whether it's a bride, whether it's an NGO in East Africa trying to get out the message of the work that they're doing, whether it's still or video. I'm a storyteller.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that, your NGO work, because that's, I mean, you're doing, like, you talk about storytelling, you're telling important stories. It's one thing to be telling a story of, you know, this is how garbage collection works in Silicon Valley, right? Versus,
Yeah.
You know, this is the plight of a whole, you know, generation of people and how they're dealing with it. But I want to go back a little bit to the storyteller piece of it. And it's interesting that, you know, because I had some of the same conversations about, you know, the whole cocktail party thing. Like, what do you do? What's your job?
Yeah.
It's even harder for me because, like, it's getting easier, but people, A, they didn't understand what the photographer was. B, they didn't understand what the podcaster was. So you're just, you know, some dude that's doing stuff. You're like, oh, that's nice. So, hey, Bob, how you doing?
Yeah. You're kind of left in the corner. Like,
Right. So yeah, I started a couple of years ago, I started talking in terms of multimediographer, right? Oh. And And even that, it's just so many syllables. It sounds so complicated. Multimediographer. Okay, it's a multimedia and you record in multimedia. But I think your description, just plain storyteller, is clean. And it transcends the mediums, right? Photographer means you're taking photos, still photographs. Videographer means you're siloing yourself to video. Animator this, you know, voiceover artist that. Why not just say we tell stories? So I thank you for doing that. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I like that it for me, it's like it either invites a conversation or, you know, like you just mentioned, they say cool and they turn to someone else, you know, like, so it's you can start a conversation with that, and it can, you know, they can get as engaged as they want. And for me also, like, I like, one of my dreams is to write children's books, and so I like kind of lump that into the storytelling as well. So it's a great word.
Well, let's piggyback on that and talk a little bit about, or a lot about, the ethical storytelling that you do. So you mentioned that you're involved with NGOs, you know, as a storyteller. So take me through that and how that came about and what exactly you're doing over in Africa.
Yeah, so those types of trips just came about through relationships. I was working with some nonprofits, and, you know, they're kind of all connected in that world. And through various relationships, I was able to go to Estonia and Latvia and do some work. That same organization was going down to do some medical clinics in East Africa. And I'd always had a heart for that continent. Like, Africa is just, there's something about it that there was a draw there. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. The first time I was standing in the middle of this medical clinic in Uganda, and it was the first time in my life, you know, I believe that I married the right person, and there are moments where I was in the right place at the right time. But this was one of the rare moments where I just knew without a doubt that I am standing here doing the work that I was meant to do. There's nowhere else I'm supposed to be right now. And it was just a gift that just kind of filled my heart. And I was like, man, this is something I want to do more of. And so, again, through relationship, just started doing more and more of those trips. And what I found over time was people would see blog posts or, you know, pictures on Facebook, and they were photographers or storytellers. And they would say, man, how do you do this work? Like, how did you get into this? And how do you do it? And a great friend of mine, my best friend, Kevin Kubota, who shot my wedding 17 wow. years ago, wow. Was doing similar work. And we got together and we're like, man, there's a need for this. Like, people want to know how to go out and do this work. And the important thing is to do it right.
Yeah.
So we launched with some other friends, the Nicodems, we launched Workshops with Purpose. Mm-hmm. And so WWP exists to help storytellers go into relationships with nonprofits to learn how to navigate those relationships and how to tell stories in an ethical way, meaning that they're leaving dignity intact for the people who they're filming or taking photos of. Mm-hmm. So to go into the community and do this in an ethical way so that we're not just taking, we're giving.
I love it. Yeah. I love that. And that's you know, you and I kind of get the gist of where you're going with that, because you're, in some cases, you could just sort of parachute into an area, not parachute, but go into an area and then just sort of be the, you know, you're reaping the natural resources of the imagery that are there. Right. Yeah. And not giving anything back. You're like, oh, look at all these great pictures. And I got my compact flash or SD card. I'm out. Right. Boom. And you guys, rather than doing that, go into a little bit more detail on what you do beyond, you know, aside from just going in and taking a bunch of awesome pictures and heading back to Lightroom. What do you guys do that's beyond that part?
For the workshops?
Yeah.
So really it's about thinking about the country that you're going to, doing some research about the country and the people there, and what are the cultural norms, what's okay to do, what's not okay to do. How, you know, we want to teach people that you don't just jump out of the guns a-blazing, like you were saying, oh, there's a little kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't just get out and start taking a bunch of selfies. I think we've all seen images where, like, you know, a white girl from Kansas goes into Congo and there's a bunch of kids that surround her and she's taking selfies and and we're not thinking about what the implications of those types of images are, where people look at that and they say, man, there's like no parents around, like there's just a bunch of orphans running around. And there are, but there's a sense of cultural sensationalism that we have when we go visit another place, no matter where that is or no matter where we're starting from.
Yeah.
And so thinking about what does this image mean that I'm making and who is it affecting? If I was a parent and somebody drove by and took photos of my child in that way, how would that make me feel?
Yeah.
And in reality, in the situation that I just described, there's mamas out working in the field. There's dads working around. You know, it's just kids kind of flock to these types of things. So,
yeah. And how are you able to get yourself? So as a white male going in there into, you know, an African community with a camera, you know, with gear. And I would imagine the gear is probably worth more than they make in a long span of time. Right. So how do you go in there? What are the techniques for you to go in and sort of let them know that it's okay and that you're doing the right thing and you're not there for exploitive or nefarious reasons? So how do you bridge that gap so that when you take the picture, it's ethical?
That's a great question. And that's something that we really teach in our workshops is, I believe it's always best to go into a situation with that, like that, with somebody who works for the organization that you're working with, so they have connection with the people that you're going to film or document. Most of the time, the people that we're going to film have been helped by this organization in some way, and so they're grateful to be able to tell their story to raise awareness for this organization. But working with somebody on the ground who understands the social network of where you're at. They understand the implications of, you know, what could go wrong. And so just really relying on native people who understand where you're at.
Yeah.
It would be a totally different thing if I wasn't working with an organization and I just, you know, Ubered my way out into the Congo or whatever, just took a bus or whatever. It'd be a totally different situation.
And not to mention dangerous, right? Because you don't
very
know
dangerous,
who
yeah.
to talk to, who not to talk to.
You know
this tribe or the history, right? This particular group of people may have had some bad experiences with people that look like you, right? So you don't want to go in there without that knowledge and be made an example of, right? So
And as much as you read up on that, I think nothing can replace just having somebody there who lives it every day, right?
Yeah.
I think that's hugely important. So that's what we teach, is just asking the great questions, doing the research, and understanding that things can go wrong, and what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, which is smart. I hear that from a lot of workshop runners that I have on the show, and that's when they go, especially people that obviously they go to foreign countries outside of their normal country, right? So they even myself, we did a workshop to Vietnam a couple of years ago, and there's no way I could have done that trip without guides, right? Or having a guide.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, so the guide is making sure you're not an idiot and you're going to the right places so that you can concentrate on teaching what you need to teach to the group of people and making sure everyone is safe.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. I have in my notes here, you have a Story and Light workshop coming up in February. Tell me about Story and Light. What's that about?
So in addition to Workshops with Purpose, which we've done, I think four now, we've done, where have we been? Kenya, Bolivia, Thailand, and we're working on one in Cuba coming up in April. But I'm passionate about doing my own workshops. So Story and Light came about with just the idea that those are two very important things when we're talking about storytelling, right? Mm-hmm. We've got to have a story. And especially for still photographers these days, just understanding, I mean, the very definition of photography, you know, when you look at the Greek photos, being light, right? Yeah. That's important.
Yep.
And graphe being drawing or painting. So we have painting with light or drawing with light. So my belief is that the better you understand light, the better photographer, obviously, you're going to be. So
absolutely.
There's a there's a lot of natural light photographers who I think it's really easy just to say I'm a natural light photographer because then you don't have to learn all the complicated things or mm-hmm. things you feel like are complicated, right? Mm-hmm. And so I have a heart for those people like, hey, I can help you. Like, okay, nothing can replace sunset, right? The magic hour is gorgeous. But what if you didn't always have to shoot at sunset? What if you could manufacture light or modify light in a way that you could be making money all day long, and then at night you get to hang out with your kids? Like, yeah. Sign me up for that.
Right.
So story and light. Yeah, right? Yeah. So story and light is really about looking for the story, whether it's at a wedding or even a portrait session, looking for the story and then creating the best possible image you can.
Cool. So yeah, make sure you give me the links and all that for that for folks to sign up for that. We'll make sure they're included.
Thank you. In
the blog post. Let's switch gears a little bit. So one of the things we talked about when we were doing that pre-interview was the sort of having a discussion around motivation for shooting, right? And sort of getting our brains around that. And that's the, like, for photographers or storytellers to ask themselves the question, Why am I telling a story? Why am I taking this? Is it because I'm trying to shed light on a particular thing? Is it just for money? Or am I shooting for likes and followers?
Yeah.
Right? Which is sort of the new metric. It used to be like back in the print days, right? You'd shoot and you make a print and you'd hang it on the wall and maybe 100 people would see that print across the life of that print. And you were happy.
If you're lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're lucky, or unless you got a gallery show or something. But we were happy. Now that has changed. Now we have the addition of the metrics around it. You know, and like we mentioned in the beginning, the whole deluge of good photography that's coming down the line. In your opinion, is it okay to shoot for followers and likes as a motivation for what you're doing, or should you, you know, go a little bit higher?
I'd like to think that there was a right or wrong answer there, and there's just not. I feel like it's a why. I think you have to look at why. For me personally, I'm a late adopter of Instagram. Okay, I just had kind of always felt like, you know, I don't have 2 hours to be on Instagram. Like, I gotta go like do my work and go grocery shopping and pick up the kids. Like, I don't have time to do that.
Right.
But now I'm at a point where I really have a heart. Like, I want to be teaching and I want to be reaching other people. And for whatever reason, like, people are on Instagram right now. And you've got to meet people where they're at. And so there's also this mentality that unless you're, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100K followers, you don't have something to offer.
Right.
And so I think we as storytellers, anybody on Instagram, you feel like you have to work on those numbers to get them up so that you people feel like what you have to say is important.
Yeah.
Now, as far as like shooting for likes, you know, it's interesting. I feel like there's a lot of photographers marketing to other photographers,
mm-hmm.
and they're maybe not even selling anything. It's like I think about, what if those photographers were actually spending that time marketing to potential clients instead of just trying to impress other photographers to get their likes and their follows. You know what I'm saying? So I think it really depends. Now, in my situation, I am trying to build my following and increase followers just so that because I want to teach. So there's something that there's a commodity there for other photographers. So trying to reach other photographers makes sense. If I'm selling presets or actions or workflow or something like that, then I want to have more photographers following me.
Yeah.
But there is this definite, I mean, it's so interesting. I look at it, especially in the Pacific Northwest. If my wife and I wanted an image or a session where we were hiking up onto a hill and we had the moody clouds in the background and the kind of gray Pacific Northwest vibe. If we wanted an image like that, I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of photographers here who are doing that right now. As we record this, they're doing that right now. But if I want something different, I have to dig a little deeper right now.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, like, the one thing that we as photographers, the only thing that people can't take away from us that we can offer clients is ourselves and our own vision. And so when we're shooting just to get likes from other photographers who are doing the same thing, we are limiting ourselves and our potential clients because we're just recreating. We're just copying. We're copying.
Yeah.
So while I try to find the balance of creating things that are, I don't want to say trendy, but aren't wildly different than what's going on. Yeah. I've got to
be within the zeitgeist of what
you do. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But I want to put my spin on it. I don't want it to look like everybody else's, because there's 100,000 people out there who can do those things.
Yeah.
I want, and every time I have a client who books me, it's, they always talk about that. Like, your stuff is just a little bit different, and that's how I know I'm on the right track.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because it's the, you know, I do this presentation, and there's this course in the TWIP school called the Creative Solopreneur. And one of the areas in that course is we talk about defining your audience. And it goes to exactly what you were talking about, how some photographers get out there and they, you know, they'll start their social media accounts, and the vernacular and the subject matter that they post is all targeted at other photographers. Like, hey, look at this new Fuji camera I got, or hey, look at this new lens, or look, hey, I'm now using Capture One and not Lightroom, and blah, 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 and here's my opinion on the, you know, all that.
Exactly.
When in reality, your bride is like, Capture who? Light what? What? You know, what's a Fuji? Yeah. You know, I don't care about that. I care about, should I be hiring you to shoot my wedding, right? Yeah. So, you know, the overall idea is that you want to be speaking to the people that, you know, your target audience. So, which begs the question, do you want to, is it better to merge the streams and, you know, have one social account where, you know what, yeah, I'm doing workshops, so I kind of want to talk to other photographers because those are my customers for that side of my business. But at the same time, I want to be talking to brides. So should you merge the streams, or should you segregate and have two separate streams, one that's specifically for your wedding and portraiture clients, and then another one that is for peers? What do you think about that?
I mean, I think if you have all the time in the day and can handle two accounts, like I can barely keep
assistant.
Up or an assistant, right? That's a great idea. If you have employees or an assistant who can help with that other account, then probably yes. For me, I'm in a situation where I try to really leverage stories as much as possible as well. So I have the images that make the grade for my feed, but I'll go off and show a little personal life in my stories. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to potential clients. I'll talk to other photographers as well. So I think stories gives us an avenue, especially if we have different categories for highlights.
Yep.
You know, for brides, for, you know, couples, for photographers. Then we can kind of funnel those stories into those areas and really target. But for me, I don't have time.
Right. Right. I mean, you're too busy telling stories. Like, you should.
Right?
Like,
yeah. I'm spinning yarn, man. I got to. Yeah.
You're Rumpelstiltskin. Spinning straw into gold. Right?
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I want to be respectful of your time and wrap this up. So what else is going on in your world? I know you're, so like you, we mentioned or sort of alluded to that you're the wedding and portrait photographer. So I'm sure you're booked up with weddings until, you know, the 2020 or so, and then the workshops and all that stuff. So what's coming up in the world of Benjamin?
Just a lot of commercial projects. I'm super stoked about, like I mentioned, the video film stuff,
yep.
That heightened sense of storytelling. So I love telling, stories for businesses and companies. And so, yeah, I've got a few of those lined up, and then, you know, it's booking season for weddings, and just going to keep pushing forward, man.
I love it. Yeah. Man, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. This is we could talk for hours about storytelling and, you know, absolutely, the gear necessary and processing and how you lay out a story and all that stuff, but I have a feeling all that's covered in the workshops, right? So where should people go to, like, follow you, you know, if they're a bride, hire you, or if they want to get them on a workshop, you know, sign
you
up
bet.
For that.
So all that can be at BenjaminEdwardsPhotography.com and Instagram at Benjamin Edwards.
Awesome. Perfect.
Yeah.
Benjamin Edwards, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It was an honor. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
This is TWIP.